scripture today. The Lord had me. Wish I'd had more time to kind of meditate on it. And the book of 1 Peter, when he's writing to all these churches, the aliens who were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, unto obedience of Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. We want grace and peace, you know, I was reading this, ours in the fullest measure, right? And that was his prayer for them, is that he wants those guys to experience the grace of God and his peace in the fullest measure. Okay? But how we get there is by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, which means we are in Christ, we are sanctified, we're set apart. But then there's this Holy Spirit that works, and sanctifying or holyizing is what that word means, in our walk with God, right? Making what's true about us to us in my experience. And this is so important here because, and it's interesting that he uses these two things. One, obedience, we know that one, right? We got that down. We're called to obey, walk with the Lord, we're sheep, we're just called to follow, obey his voice. But something really important here to do that, to cooperate with the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, is that you're constantly being sprinkled. Okay? In this particular story, when he uses this, is not that you hear much on this, but it's the sprinkling or the sacrifice and sprinkling of something called the red heifer or the red cow. Okay? That's found in Numbers chapter 19. I'm just going to read a little bit here and kind of tie them in together and see what he's talking about. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "This is the statute of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the sons of Israel that they may bring you an unblemished red heifer in which there is no defect, and on which no yoke has ever been placed. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, and it shall be brought outside the camp and be slaughtered in his presence." Jesus suffered outside the camp, right? That's what Scripture tells us. "Now Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger, and sprinkle some of his blood toward the front of the tent of meeting seven times." Seven meaning completion. "Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight, its hide and its flesh and its blood, with its refuse shall be burned. The priest shall take cedar wood," interesting that he uses that, cedar wood represents resurrection, "the hyssop," which you sprinkle with, "and scarlet material," which represents redemption, "and cast it into the midst of the burning heifer. As it's burning, he throws in these three ingredients and they burn up with it. Then the priest shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward come into the camp, but the priest shall be unclean until evening, and evening he would be clean. Then the one who burns it shall also wash his clothes in the water, bathe his body in water, and shall be unclean until evening. And no man who is clean shall gather up the ashes and deposit them outside the camp in a clean..." Now, a man who is clean, verse 9, "a man who is clean shall have to gather up these ashes of the heifer, deposit them outside the camp in a clean place, and the congregation of the sons of Israel shall keep it in water to remove the impurity. It is purification from sin." So they would take these ashes after everything burned, and they would take them out and put them in these pots of water that had to be taken from flowing water and put it in there for purification. But what kind of purification are they getting purified from? Well, if anyone comes in contact or touches a dead person, you would be unclean. Right? And so you would have to take this with the hyssop, this water, and sprinkle that person to make them clean. And only a clean person could help a person who's unclean get unclean to be clean. Right? So So what is this talking about? I mean, surely we can tie this into the work of Jesus, right? Because the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is we can't walk around with a consciousness of being unclean. Right? That's part of what he does. In the cleansing, his cleansing power to cleanse us. In other words, we're not to walk around with a sense of shame or guilt or condemnation. It has to, that's part of his sanctifying work. If we're going to obey Jesus and follow him, you can't walk around with that stuff, right? You can't walk around with a sense of shame or guilt or all your failures and stuff like that. So it's a beautiful picture of that. The wages of sin is death, right? The wages of sin is death. Death in our experience. So any kind of contact with death, with sin, will get on you, right? And so that's important. Why do we do, when you come here, why do y'all guys do the confession every day? Because we need it, right? But more than that, you need to hear the words spoken over you. You're forgiven. Right? Someone who's standing up there representing the clean one, Jesus, is now declaring to you, you are now clean. You're clean. You don't have to carry this around anymore. Right? Another interesting thing is, it takes a clean person to declare over the unclean person. Right? Can I confess my sins to the Lord as I'm going about? Yeah. But sometimes you need someone standing there. Scripture says in James to confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be what? Healed. Right? Part of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is not only just you not carrying this stuff around anymore and him declaring over you that you're clean, but you got to understand that you're unclean. Right? And you need that. That's what confession means, just to agree. That's what that word means, to agree with. And as long as I try to hide my stuff and keep it, death will be on me. Right? My experience will be death. And I want my experience to be life, right? So the Lord has just this awesome thing that we have, confession. And hear me when I say this. Confession to a person is not a Roman Catholic thing. Got it? It's an early church thing that Jesus and the apostles, he started it, right? Because he knows our humanity. Sometimes we need something like that child, you heard the story, was having nightmares and scared. The parent went in there to pray for him, you know, said, you know, it's okay, God is here, you'll be fine. And they said, Dad, sometimes you need something with skin on it. I need you to stay here, right? So sometimes we need something with skin on it, declaring over you, you're forgiven. And that's what that symbolically with that hyssop sprinkling over there. But two, you notice when they first sacrificed that the high priest went and put it over the very entrance of the tent of meeting. Right? Another significant thing. That you come into his presence, you can come into his presence at any time because you've been cleansed. Right? Now being unclean doesn't keep you from coming into his presence. It means that you're carrying death on you. And it affects you. Right? And they did it either on the third or seventh day, which are, you know, three is, you know, perfection, and seven is completion. So it's a completed work. Jesus completed it on the cross, right? Now I want that completed work now in my daily experience. So I have to be cleansed. Part of being made holy, right? I have to be cleansed. The Lord wants me to be cleansed, so I'm not carrying this around. Mm-hmm. So that's our battle. And I've seen it in my own life. If you carry and you can't shake something that's you done or whatever, just the power of coming to someone, bringing it into the light, confessing it, can lift that off of you. And all of you experience that, right? That's part of his work. Now, if I keep something hidden, like keeping this death on you, you know, the enemy dwells in darkness. Scripture says in two different places, in Jude and in 2 Peter, that the enemy dwells in darkness. He's been committed to pits of darkness. He dwells in darkness. If I keep things in darkness, he has permission to torment me. But once I bring it out into the light, I'm cleansed. So, may the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit today cleanse you from all death. Right? You don't have to carry it around anymore. It's a done deal. Okay? And you can enjoy, if that's true, then you're enjoying grace to its fullness. And peace. Right? You can't be unclean and have peace at the same time. It doesn't work, right? They just don't seem to mesh or dwell together. But once you hear that you're clean, you're forgiven, right? I absolve you from all your sins. You know, it's just a, Jesus does that, not that person, right? We're just hearing it. Oh my gosh. I'm clean now. Okay? So good. I love those Old Testament types and Old Testament pictures of this New Testament reality that we have, don't you? So, you're clean. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.